The Gemara begins today, for our sake, we're starting at 39b, Lama Tess Amid Beis, with Amri Debei Reb Shila. I think we didn't do that yesterday. So Gemara says, Amar, I'm going to be using Safari today. It's another one of those days where we need a lot of translations. Sometimes we'll get it, sometimes we'll just have to say the word like we did yesterday. So Amri Debei Reb Shila, Vasika Shari. Vatika, which is some kind of pastry, which is prepared with different liquids. Not sure what liquids. That's what the Safaria says here. That it's Vatika, with Safaria being Steinsalz. So Vatika is Shari. Vatika you're allowed to have in Pesach. So Vatanya, Vasika Aser. But we have another brace that says you can't. So Lo Kasha Had the Avdi Mishcha Milcha Had the Avdi Mai Milcha. We did do this yesterday. That when it's involving oil, that's when it's a problem. But when it's involving oil, that's when it's okay, because may peros enon machmitzin, right? That the fruit juices aren't going to create chametz. Whatever that means, we talked about it a couple of dapim ago. Not that we had much clarity on it then either. But if it's only with water and salt, then it's going to actually create chametz. So Gemara then says, Amar marzotra lolo lo limache inish kidra bekimcha da avishuna. A person should not line the edge of a pot with roasted flour, lest the sum of the flour was not properly roasted and it'll become to chimutz. Meaning that we saw earlier on the daf yesterday, or at least not so much earlier, on a beis yesterday, that if you would do afia, then there wouldn't be any chimutz afterwards, even if you did bishul. So the question here is, you shouldn't do that kind of thing with the edge of the pot, because if that were to be how you roasted the flour, or if you had roasted flour beforehand, thinking that would be okay, because now it's not going to be chametz again. So you have to be concerned that maybe it didn't fully bake the first time, fully roast the first time, and now it's going to come to be machmet. So Amar Rav Yosef lo lichlo inish on tardaf trechite bahadehadade. A person should not scald 2 wheat grains in boiling water. When I saw this, when I read this yesterday, I had no idea what was going on. 2 wheat, I still don't know what's going on. You're scalding, I guess, some kind of heat. You're putting 2 wheat grains in boiling water. I assume this means like the stalk or something like that. So 2 wheat grains at the same time. And you shouldn't do it. Dilma az lachar v'yas v'tzir d'chaverta. Because maybe one of them in the slit. I don't know what that means. Dilma azlochad of Yaswa Bitsiria de Chaverta is going to move to the other slit. Maybe they're going to get stuck together. Maybe like there's going to be like some kind of slits in them that breaks in the kernels or something. They're going to fuse together. They're going to get stuck in each other. I guess that's what it's meaning.
Velosalik. That's what he's saying. The 2 grains. One will sort of lodge in the... There's a picture of the wheat grain with the slit.
Okay.
One will lodge in the other, therefore preventing the boiling water from fully...
Oh, you mean the first time around? Wait, so you're putting in the boiling water. If there was no slit, it would be okay because it wouldn't be machmitz, but now that there is a slit, if they get lodged together, it's going to cause complications because then what? V'losalik l'hu d'ikula d'mayim arba r'chosa v'asli d'chimitz.
Sounds like what David's saying is that if they connect together, they won't, the water won't be able to get in there and fully cook it.
So if it's cooked, that means that it's not going to be machmitz?
Yes, if the water, as Aaron just said, if the water could get everywhere, penetrate everywhere.
I thought we talked about this yesterday, that it could be that it becomes chametz even while it's boiling. Didn't we say that? But I guess that's based on... I don't know. If you're boiling it, then I guess... Right? Didn't we say at the beginning of the Gemara yesterday, we said, V'chol shechol etzbroschen bevushal ad mevashal emechame. Right? Once it's being boiled, it's going to become chametz. And then it said, no, it's baked and then it's boiled. So are we to understand that these are cases where you already baked them and now you're boiling them? I don't understand where the slit came in. Did it come in before the boiling? Did it come in after the boiling? Did you bake it and then you boiled it? I don't understand the whole thing.
The slit is apparently natural. natural to wheat.
Right.
But it's not a problem with barley.
Are we talking about grain that you already baked? Right, because that's what we said at the beginning of the Gemara. At the beginning of the Gemara, I'm going to be as we said, ha'afoy shebishlo kamar, that it was first baked and then it was boiled afterwards.
I don't see any indication here that this one's already.
All right, and then Steinsaltz actually said it after that in the non-boiled letters. However, if it was initially boiled, it will become leavened. So I guess here we're not talking about initially boiling it, because then it would become chametz regardless of whether it has a slit. Right, so that's why I'm just a little confused about the metzias, as they say. So I'm not 100% sure what's going on, but let's just say that because they're lodged together, that's going to prevent the water from getting all around it, and therefore it's not going to be fully boiled. Not 100% sure why that would ever be okay, even if it wasn't lodged to be boiled, based on the first part of the Gemara. But we'll leave that to the chemists, I guess. V'amar Abaye. And then Abaye says another thing. We're just going through things people shouldn't do. V'amar Abaye lo lichroch enesh treit shibule abade adare. You shouldn't put two stalks together. Dilma nafki mayim ahayu v'ala idach. That maybe the water is going to leave one of them and it'll be absorbed by the other. V'asli di chimutz, because it's being absorbed by the other one, so it's going to cause chimutz. So amar le rava, ihachi, I feel charanama. What do you mean? That the water is going to leave one stalk and go to the other stalk. Even within the same stalk. Maybe it can go from one side of the stalk to the other side of the stalk. So the Elam Rava may appear as Ninhu, or may appear as Enam Achmitzin. Really, what the situation is that you're talking about May Peros. And May Peros are not going to be Machmitz. So the Gemara says, V'hadr be'abai me'ahi, Abai disagreed, he changed his mind. D'cho agav midalaihu lo machmitzi. Anything that is absorbing liquid will not become chametz. Safari has this thing. I presume it's about Rashi. It's according to Rashi. That what? V'hadar be'alei kol derech nefilasum lo mechame. That's the next part. Midalei lo mechametzi. What does that mean? Says the Amar Abaye, hai chatzpa da'abishuna, schifa shari, zekifa aser. Schifa, meaning if it was used for, if it's a jug of some kind, which is used for drying the stalks by roasting them, if it is inverted, and therefore, if it's inverted, the jug is upside down, and the water is going to fall onto the stalks, so then that's okay, because actually, I don't know. I really have no... do you have any pictures of this? Because I have no idea what this is talking about.
Seems like he is saying that the wheat kernels have some natural moisture, and when you roast them with their natural moisture will cause the moisture to move around and
right.
Cause leavening, which seems hardly worse than taking flour and mixing it intentionally with water and roasting it right away. So I mean,
yeah.
I'm baffled at this. So first of all, you know, as we mentioned before, there's a whole passage in Sefer Yehoshua where it talks about doing exactly
this. The roasted corn, yeah.
And roasting grain, and, you know, that seems there to be no problem, but they don't go into halakha. Here, you know, if you were to take the grain and grind it into flour and intentionally mix it with water, all we care about is how quickly it cooks. How quickly we need it, and how quickly it cooks. And here, with no worry, no concern, I mean, that it could roast and dry out in 1 minute, and he still seems worried about it and has to rely on May Peyrote.
Yeah.
We need to rely on May Peyrote to get out of it, as opposed to, why do you need to rely on May Peyrote? It just cooks quickly, and shouldn't be a problem. That's what's confusing to me.
Yeah, well, I don't understand just the practicalities of the case. You've got some kind of jug, and when the water is falling from it, so then we're not worried because the water's not going to land on something else, but when it's upward.
I'm envisioning this. Let's say you have, you know, a cooking surface, and you put a jug on top, you put you put grains like on a grate or a barbecue grate and put a jug on it to hold the heat or something.
Uh-huh.
Then the water will, from the grains, the moisture of the grains will run down. But if you had the jug upright, then they'll slosh around in their trivial
right.
amount of. So I'm confused by. Yeah. Why we're worried about this at all? Why we need to even worry about May payrolls?
Yeah, but let's say it's something like that. I mean, that's clearly what the Gemara means. That when the water is falling, when the water is falling down, it's not going to be a problem. But when it's falling onto it, or it's retaining the water where it is, so then it's going to obviously sort of absorb the water better. So Gemara says, Rava Amar, filo zakifa is not a problem. Nami shari bein peros nenu. Really, when water goes from one to the other, it's considered mei peros, and mei peros and machmitzin, so we don't have to worry. Tanar Rabbanan, ein losin se'orin bepesach, a person should not soak barley on Pesach. V'im lasas nisbaku asuros, lo nisbaku mutaros. If a person did soak barley on Pesach, so then if they split, it's a problem, because then it's considered to be machmitz. And if it didn't split, it's going to be okay. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Shorim b'chometz, you can soak them in vinegar. V'chometz tzomsan. And the grain will contract, apparently, like tzimtzum. It's going to contract. Amar Shmuel in Halach Rabbi Yossi, we don't pass on like that. You're not allowed to put grain inside of vinegar. I assume this is talking about barley, but I'm not sure if it's only barley that you can do it. But let's just say that for a second. So Amar Chista Amar Marukva Lo Nisbaku Mamish Al Kosh Ilam Anichan Al Pichaves Vehin Nisbakus Me'alein. It doesn't literally mean if they actually split or if it's visible. But rather what it means is if you put it on top of a barrel of wine and they just naturally split because of the wine or some kind of the atmosphere of the wine, whatever, Ushmul Amr Nisbaku Mamish. Ushmul says, no, it has to literally have a split in it. So Avad Shmuel Uvda Bedur Deve Bar Chashu Nisbaku Mamish. He once was in this place called Bar Chashu, and he only made it usher when it literally split open. But those that hadn't yet split, even if you would assume that they would split if you put them on top of a barrel, he said that those were okay. So Amar Rabba Bal Nefesh Lo Yotos, a sort of a pious person, a righteous person, is not going to soak anything on Pesach. My Iria Bal Nefesh, what does that mean? I feel Kuliyama Nami. This seems to be a source for Gebrux. Feel Kuliyama Nami. Everybody else shouldn't. Tani ain't losing sorrow on Pesach. It says you shouldn't soak grain on Pesach. Shouldn't soak barley on Pesach. Hachikam rabal nefesh afi luchitin yishviri yolotosos. That a person even shouldn't soak wheat, which is...
He's talking about raw grain here. I don't think he's talking about clearly...
Yeah. But just the getting wet is presumably what's causing it. But the Amar Le Rav Nachman Tzayis Leila Abba Achal Nama Di Pusha. A person who listens to Abba, which is apparently Rabba's first name. Rashi says, Rabba hachi kari le lashon rabbanos. So his name was Abba, right? Which was, Rabba was like a rabbi, right? Rebbe. But his real name was Abba. I know a couple Abbas. Dehabe rav huna lasi, maybe one. I thought I knew another. Dehabe Rav Huna Lasasi Ube Rava Bar Avin Lasasi. Because in Rav Huna's house, they would soak the grain. And in Rava Bar Avin's house, they would soak the grain. Ube Rav Bar Avin Lasasi Vrava Amar Asalotos. And Rav himself said that you shouldn't do it. Rava says you shouldn't do it. Oh, I skipped that page. Achal Nama Di Pusha means if you listen to Rabba, so you're going to have moldy bread because you can't properly sift the flour or soak the flour, and it just won't turn out good. So Ella Hadetanya, but wait a second, this is the rice of the Elon Sensor on Pesach. It says you shouldn't soak barley on Pesach. Sorin hu delo hachiti shari. It implies that you're allowed to do it with wheat. So Gemara said, lo mi by a kamar. Lo mi by a chitin came into East Beit Syria. Aile behumaya aval shari de shiye, saare de shiye, ema shapir dami kamash malan. That really, when it comes to wheat, you always have a concern because the slit is going to absorb the water. When it comes to the barley, which is smooth, maybe you would think that it's okay because it doesn't have those slits. Kamash Malah, and the Brises come and teach us you can't do it. So that's what it means. You can't do wheat or barley. So Hadam Rava, then Rava said, changing his mind, Mutzer Lotos, you're allowed to soak. Tetani, because the Brises says, Yosem Pas Nekia Vahadra, V'yevshan Nekia B'lol L'sisa. It's impossible to make nice flour without the soaking of the grain first, and therefore it must be okay to to soak the grain. So Gemara says, "Esevei Rav Papa l'Rava." Then Rav Papa comes to Rav and says, "Wait a second. Wait, but what about the first thing you said that it was aser hakamach ma'asel? That doesn't it also say hakamach ma'aslatos shal gayim shal kfarim tahorim shal krachim tamein? That when it comes to the flour and the soles is refined flour of the non-Jews, if they're from a village, so then they're tahor. If they're from big cities, then they're tameh." Presumably the difference being that when they're from villages, they don't have the same kind of processing capabilities, and therefore it's non-refined, let me see here, and it is assumed that grain in cities is soaked before it is ground into flour. Once water becomes in contact with this grain, it becomes susceptible to ritual impurity, and some sorts it becomes impure when touched by non-Jews. So Kumar says, "De kfar my time, what's the reason the villages are no good? La mishun de lo lasi v'kakar le'l soles." You called it soles, meaning it's refined flour, even though they had not yet really soaked it properly, right? Even in the villages where they don't have that ability to soak it the same way, I guess. So Gemara says, no, targuma akimcha. That's really talking about regular flour, and it's not talking about soles. It's refined flour, meaning if you can't soak it, that means you can't get soles. Right, that's what it basically says from Rava beforehand, because that's how he's trying to make nice matzah buster. Nafag Amar, after he left, or he was on his way out, so my time alo emalei mehada amar Rabbi Zera amar Rabbi Yirmiya amar Shmuel chitin shal menachos ein los tenos av kakari luhu soles. But what about the wheat of the menachos that you did not soak and you still called that soles? Right, the pasuk calls it soles. So Gemara says, Hadar Amar Rava mitzvah liltos. There's a mitzvah to soak, shenama v'shmartim es hamatzos. Because it says, so Rava started off saying, aser losos. You shouldn't, it's prohibited. Then he says, it's mutter losos. You're allowed to. And now he's saying, no, mitzvah liltos. You have to soak the grain. Shenama v'shmartim es hamatzos. The pasuk says you have to take good care of the matzah. Ilo debay lesisa shimur lamai. If it's not referring to the soaking process, what else could the shmira, what else could the guarding be for? Ishimur delisha. So if you're going to tell me that it's talking about shimur, to watch it, to be careful about when it's being needed, delisha, so that's not really considered to be guarding. What does that mean? Ilo avid le shimur mekame hachi. If you didn't really guard it from before that, that's not really considered to be good enough. It says here, if one failed to protect the wheat from becoming leavened up to that point, it is of no use to be careful while kneading it. Consequence of this mitzvah to guard the goat cannot be referring to the kneading stage. The Amar Rav Huna, why is the kneading stage not good enough? Meaning, let's say, just process all the wheat, harvest all the wheat, bring it in to make it all flour, and then we'll start watching it carefully when we start the kneading process. Says Rav, that's not good enough. Damer of Huna, but Tekel Shagayim, the dough of non-Jews, Adam and Malik Kreis Mehen, you can eat it, Bilvashi Yochal, because that is matzah machrona, as long as you eat matzah afterwards. This, by the way, is a big sort of a machlokas in the Rishonim about what exactly this means. You can't just eat non-Jewish bread, right? Because that's pas, you know, pas akum, right? So there's a big machlokas here, Rashi, and I think it's the Ramban I saw, that discuss what exactly the situation is here. It must be that there was a Jew watching over him the whole time, but then Rashi, or at least maybe Tosfos responds, I don't remember. There's complications with understanding it that way. So either way, what it's saying here is just using the dough of a non-Jew, you're allowed to eat it, as long as you eat matzah ba'achrona, in order to fulfill the obligation of eating matzah. I mean, you can't eat the matzah through the non-Jew's dough, but you could have it, obviously, with other dough. The Gemara says, "Bachrona in Barishon alo." Only afterwards are you allowed to eat it, but at the beginning, no. Meaning that if he started off with the Jewish matzah. Hold on, let me just read Rashi here. Meaning you're only good if you eat the matzah at the end. But if you only ate the non-Jewish dough, so that would not be good enough. So Gemara says, what's going on here? My time. What's the reason why it's not good enough to eat the non-Jewish bread first? Non-Jewish matzah first? Mishum delo avid behushimur. Oh, the reason you can't have the dough that was procured from the non-Jew is because the non-Jews, didn't properly wash it from before the kneading. So if you have non-Jewish dough that you're now going to make into matzah, that's not going to be shmur matzah, because the non-Jews had washed it before it became dough. And therefore, clearly, that shmur is not good enough. Wait a second, why can't that still be okay if you do the shmira from after the baking? It must be not good enough to just watch it after the dough is being baked. It must be also good enough. It must also require that you do shmir. You watch it from before it becomes the dough also. So Gemara says, wait a second. Why is that the case? Why must you assume that the shmir has to happen even before it becomes dough? Maybe the situation there was different, because at the time when you needed when you're washing it with the water being added to the flour, so then he just didn't do shimur properly. Maybe the situation there was just that they didn't do the shmir properly. But if they did the shmir properly, so avile shmir, hachanam de shmir delisha have a shmir. Maybe it could be that the kneading of the dough would be okay if you did it properly. So Gemara says, "Vafilu hachilu hadar bei Rava." Even then, Rava didn't take back his statement. De amar luhula hanu de mahavchi kifu, because he said to other people who cut and tied the stalks of grain in the field, ki mahapchisu hapichlu shu mitzvah. He still used to tell the people in the field, make sure you're doing it for matzah. Alma kasav shimur mekar mitzchilas v'atzov pein, and you have to watch the grain from the beginning to the end. So big chumra there. So Marv, do we paskin like that? Yeah, it looks like we do paskin like that, and that's how we take care of our matzahs today.
We paskin both ways.
Well, yeah, but once you say that, you have to have it from the beginning, so you have to have it throughout the whole process.
Yeah, but we hold that. Actually, we hold all three opinions. We hold regularly that guarding it from the start of kneading is okay, and. Yeah. In an emergency, discarding it from the start of baking is okay.
Yeah, so there are different...
Starting it from kneading is okay in an emergency. Starting it from grinding we do regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it seems like the most lechachil would be to have the shmura from all the way at the beginning.
People in Gev, should not happen to us. The concentration camps, they made matzah just with whatever flour
right.
they could get,
right.
guarding it from the time of need. So,
right. Yeah, so there are different stages of it, but most lechachil would be to have shmur matzah from the beginning, and that's what we try to have for our Seder, because that's the mitzvah d'oraisa part. So Mara Bered Ravina, Mara the son of Ravina says, Menachta le ime ba'arve, would bring him wheat in a trough. Apparently, meaning she would guard it in this special vessel of some kind. There was one time this boat carrying wheat, which fell, which turned over, and everything sort of fell in the water. And he allowed them, Rava said, he allowed them to sell it to non-Jews during Pesach. So Esav Rabba Bar Levi El Rava Beged Shava Bokilaim Harezel Lo Yim Karen Lagoy. If you have clothing which has shatnez in it, you're not allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. V'lo Yasabo Mardas L'Chamor. You're not even allowed to make some kind of covering for a donkey. So it says here a saddle cloth, right? So like a sweater or something. So Al Osno So Tarchurchin Lames. You can use this kilaim. You can use it for a dead body, because no one's going to come to a dead body and then use it. If, however, you would use it for something else, Rashi says, hold on, because ho'ol ve'ein kilayim shabon nikarim, asi lizvunei hai nachri liyisrael, the non-Jew is going to then sell this shot in his garment to a Jew, v'lavish liyisrael v'lavadatei, and then the Jew is going to, the Jew is going to wear it, and he's not going to know about the fact that it has kilayim. So we say, you're not even supposed to sell it to a non-Jew, lest they come to sell it back to a Jew. So now the Gemara is saying the same thing should apply to matzah, or should apply to chametz. So while it's true the wheat was sold to a non-Jew, that wheat is all wet, and therefore it's going to be chametz. So legoy my time alo, la mishum tahadim lizabin liyisrael, why can't you? Because you're going to come to sell to a Jew. Hadar amareva, lizabinu kava kava liyisrael, ki yechutu chali kame pescha, meaning you should sell it before Pesach, and therefore you can sell it right to a Jew, as long as you only give them a small amount, and that way you can guarantee, somehow you're going to guarantee, I'm not sure why, you're going to guarantee that they're going to use it up before Pesach even starts, and therefore you're not going to, you shouldn't be concerned that a person is going to come to eat it. Kind of interesting. Why aren't we concerned that they're going to continue eating it? I don't know why. But either way, I guess there must be some kind of time measurement here that makes us confident that they're going to use it. Tanu Rabbanan, ein molulin es hakadera Pesach. A person should not stir flour in a pot of food on Pesach. Apparently. This would be Rashi says mekemach kari melila kshenosni mekemach the tavshil. The Sefaria here says to absorb the foam that has accumulated during the cooking process. They would use the grains to soak up any unwanted foam inside the food. V'harotza sheyimlol, and a person who wants to do something like this, nosin es hakemach v'yachrikach nosin es hachometz. A person should put it in the flour and then add the vinegar. Which will, as we said before, earlier in the daf, if you add the vinegar, so then I would make it okay. It won't make chametz. Interesting that vinegar is called chometz, and it's preventing chametz. Interesting. Some people say you could put the vinegar and then put it in the grain, but then put in the flour. So, who says you can put in the vinegar and then put in the flour? Amar of Chizkiah Rabbi Huda, he must be Rabbi Huda. It's not the mission of Ha'ilchas Vakder Shavir Miroskin Mirusachin Liyitin Losachin Pavlin. This stew pot or this pot we talked about in Ilfas recently, but that you take off of the fire and it's still boiling or it's still hot. So lo yitzin l'tocha tavlin, you shouldn't put in spices to that mixture. Aval nosan tocha kara ol tocha tamchoi. However, you could put it into a bowl or a dish, and I guess then you could put in the tavlin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, l'kol hu nosein chutz midavar sheyesh b'chometz v'tzir. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to put into anything except for something which has vinegar and brine. Because at that point, it's considered like it's still boiling, and therefore the vinegar and the brine are going to keep it boiling. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that vinegar has that same kind of effect of boiling, and therefore, just like here, we say you shouldn't do it. So too, when it comes to pouring in the grain or pouring in the flour, you should only pour in the flour afterwards. Because if you pour in the flour beforehand, hold on. Not really sure what it means. I guess if you're pouring it into the dish and then you're putting in the vinegar, so before you put in the vinegar, you have to worry that the grains are going to soak it up and somehow are going to be machmitz. But if you pour in the vinegar first, so just like boiling water is going to prevent it, but it's going to prevent it from becoming chametz, so to here, you have to put the vinegar first so that it can prevent it from becoming chametz. V'nokma k'Rabbi Yossi, why don't we say it's like Rabbi Yossi, it's not Rabbi Yossi, omer shoren b'chometz, v'chometz omsan. One should soak wheat grains in vinegar, and the vinegar will cause the thing to contract, right? Why we said that earlier in the daf. So why don't we say it's like Rabbi Yossi? Kish haminu le Rabbi Yossi, hanimil di isvi ene, valali de tarovas lo. The problem is that in our situation, we're dealing with a dish where everything, when you mix it in, it's going to be invisible, and therefore you can't see it. But before, when Rabbi Yossi said that if you put wheat grains in vinegar, and it's not going to be machmetz, it's actually going to contract instead. So that was only when you can watch it and make sure. But here in the dish, you can't see it. Ula amar echazav echazav asr mishum lech lecha amrin and nizira schor schor lechar melo sikrav. This is basically a phrase that basically means be very careful, right? If you're a nazir, so we say go around the vineyard, don't come close to the vineyard. If you're a If you're going near a, I guess, schor, what is the word? Schor usually means to sell. But either way, it means go around. And it says, L'charma lo sikrav, meaning don't get close to places where you're going to come to inclined to take from the grapes and from drinking wine. It's basically saying stay away, right? So too here when it comes to chametz, so you don't want to mix wheat grains into your dish, because even if there might be a technically a way to avoid it, it's not a good thing to do unless you be inclined to do it a way that's going to make chametz. Rav Papi shari libor deki debe resh galusa delimim chikdir b'chasisi. In Rav Papi's home, he allowed the cook, the bordekis, or the bordaks, I'm not sure what the singular is, to roast grains into a pot of food against what Ula said. Somebody allows that even in a situation with these servants, but isn't there a concern that these servants who are not very careful about what they do, they're going to come and violate it in the way that Ula talks about. So some say that Rav himself would add the grains and therefore he'd be careful even if the servants wouldn't be. Okay.
Rabbi Steinzon says that the servants would carelessly use raw flour instead of roasted grains. Roasted grains would apparently be okay, but raw flour,
right?
No.
Okay, interesting. Like that Yeshayahu case that you're talking about, roasted versus flour. Yeah. So the Mishnah says, "Einos nekemek l'toch haroses o l'toch achardal." You shouldn't add flour to haroses, which is some kind of seasoned and pungent food. Or into the mustard, in order to sort of to dilute the sharpness of it. If you nothing, however, if you did it, so eat it right away because it's going to be machmir. Rabbi Meir also, Rabbi Meir says it's usher to do it because it's going to be machmir right away. You can't eat it fast enough. A person should not boil the carbon pesach meat in any regular liquid, or even in meperos, fruit juices. However, you can smear it on. It says baste it, and dip it in while you're eating it. Me tashmisho shel nachtom yishafchu v'nei shein machmitz. And the water that's been used by a baker to wash his hands or his dishes should also be thrown out, because there will be stuff on his hands that are going to be machmitz. Another argument for gebrux. Gemara says, "Amar Rav Kahn machlokes achar daval toch acharosa tibrei kol yisarif miyad." Rav Kahn says this machlokes in the Mishnah where it says that you can dip it into that if it falls into the mustard, so you can eat it right away. And Rav Meir says you have to throw it out right away. That's only by the mustard, but when it comes to charoses, everyone agrees that you have to burn it right away. The Tana Nami Hachli Brisa also says, "Einos nekemek toch acharosas v'imnas yisarif miyad." You shouldn't put flour into the charoses dish, which is particularly strong. You have to burn it right away because it's going to be machmitz. However, l'tocha chardal, inside the mustard, Rav Meir omer yisarif miyav, chamer omer yoyachal miyad, you should burn it right away, according to Rav Meir, and Chachamim say, like our Mishnah says, you should eat it right away. So Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel halach k'direi Chachamim, we pass on the Chachamim, that when it comes to mustard, you're allowed to eat it right away. And Merit Hashem will pick up with this tomorrow. Going to stop in the middle of the conversation. Okay, shkayach. A lot of intricacies on how to use your flour, how to use your grain. Hopefully, nowadays we don't have as much concern about that.